The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Crime Prevention 101. We're so happy you joined us this week. Over the next hour, you'll learn the tips, tricks, and vital information that will help you keep yourself confident and safe. Now, here's your host, Susan Bartlestone.
Welcome to Crime Prevention 101, the personal safety radio show with an optimistic perspective on a sober subject. I'm your host, Susan Bartlestone, and I'm so glad you've joined me today. What a show I've got for you. I can't even wait to hear it myself. Now, I've got two topics that interested me tremendously. I read about my first guest, Sharon Esatoya, in an article about the problems that Native American women face when they try to get justice. If they've been the victim of a rape or stalking or domestic violence crime, if they live on a reservation. And this is just something I really didn't know about. And, you know, and as I was doing my research on this, I found a report, a 2007 report by Amnesty International. And they said that because of jurisdictional conflicts, lack of access to trained medical personnel who can actually collect admissible evidence, forensic evidence admissible in a court, lackadaisical response by local law enforcement, and deficiencies in state and federal law, it allows perpetrators to rape Native American women with impunity. This is just amazing to me. This is a topic most people don't know much about, and I thought I'd like to throw a little light on it. And then in my second segment, something that everybody associates the Avon Corporation with its dedicated support of breast cancer research. You know, the Avon Walk for Breast Cancer, every year it's raised millions. But I don't think that everyone is familiar with Avon's efforts on behalf of domestic violence and empowerment for women and for girls. So I thought I'd like to let people know exactly what's being done by large corporations like Avon, and I'm going to be featuring Molly Quinn, who is involved with these initiatives, and we'll talk about what Avon's doing there. And I'm going to be ending the show with another installment of Let's Catch a Criminal, Crime Prevention 101 version of the America's Most Wanted TV show. And this week I'll be talking with Detective Robert Sarantonio from the Bluegrass Crime Stoppers Group in Lexington, Kentucky. First of all, Chris, I have a couple of items that came my way that I thought might be of interest to you, so I thought I'd do a little bit of that, and then we'll get to our first guest. Now, this is from an article that I read, also bottomlinesecrets.com. Bottom Line Personal is the magazine, and this is by my buddy Irene Vanderzand from the Kid Power, Teen Power, Full Power organization, which is kidpower.org, and she's given some tips here. And she said, which I didn't know, she said face-to-face crimes such as muggings and assaults are up on an average of 33% nationally. Now, I've been reading crime is down, but I know that's not true. And here we finally get some statistics on it, up 33%, muggings and assaults. Maybe violent crimes aren't going up so much, but in any event. And as most of us do know basic safety advice, like, you know, be aware, be alert, what's going on. That's going to avoid so many problems for you. But here's a couple of things that she talked about that I thought were interesting. And I mentioned this one before, but this is so interesting to me. I really don't think people know this enough. She says, program your cell phone with your local police number as well as your 911 number. And she said that the police told her that calling them directly might even yield a faster response than the 911, because when you call 911, an operator has to route the call first to a police officer. So check with your local police department and find out what would be faster in your region. And if you're not in your local police precinct, then you're going to call 911, obviously. Okay, always lock your car door. Yeah, this is a no-brainer, but she says lock it even if you're just sitting in it, just sitting out in the parking lot. People may forget that, even if you're not driving. Carry mugger's money. This is something I talk about an awful lot, but it's a good to keep reminding people. If you get mugged, you want to maybe keep your wallet in a separate place if you're carrying a lot of money, and just have a little something with $20 to $50 in small bills, separate from your other valuables. And you want to, if you get mugged, you want to give them that $20 to $50 instead of giving out everything that you've got. Very good idea. And by the way, there are my tips for what to do if you meet up with a mugger on my Crime Prevention 101 website. If you're interested in more tips on what to do to get yourself out of a mugging safely, you can check there for it. Then she said, press the panic button on your car key to set off the car alarm if someone frightens you. I love that. If you're near your car, and you're walking to it or something, and someone comes up, they're menacing, they're ominous, set off your alarm if you can do that. I'm not exactly sure how you set off your car alarm. I know how to turn it off, but I don't know how to make it go continuously. I'm actually going to try and find that out, because this is the second time I've heard some kind of advice about that. She also said many alarms can be triggered from at least 45 feet away, and some more 100 feet away. And you have to maybe talk to your car alarm service provider there about that. But I like that idea very much. She says yell orders if you feel your life is being threatened. If you give up your valuables, but the person says you're coming with me, or starts to attack you, yell clear messages such as stop, leave me alone. And then if there are others around, yell call the police, call 911. I hope everybody knows by now you don't yell help. Help tends to make people freeze in fear, and they don't know what to do. And they sometimes even move away because they're afraid for their own safety. So you want to yell stop. Leave me alone. Take your hands off of me. And if there are people around, call the police. I'm being attacked. Okay, let's see. I like that. All right, good tips. That's kidpower.org. Here's another article that I found. This is about what to do, how to protect your reputation if you're bad-mouthed on the Internet. Thankfully, that hasn't happened to me yet, but it has happened to others. And this article is by Nino Cater, and he is the president of International Reputation Management, www.irm360.com. And this is a really great tip here. I love this. Explore your online reputation. Use google.com to conduct an internet search of your name. Put your name in quotation marks and search any alternative versions that you use. Like, my name is Susan, so I might also use Sue Bartleson. Search the name of your business, your main products, anything that you think people might comment about. And he says here that the first two pages of Google's listings that pop up with your name are what matters most. Okay, interesting. And you can also, and this is something I do, you can also set up a Google alert, and it's www.google.com/alerts for your name in quotation marks. And you will receive emails whenever a new internet posting that includes your name appears. And this is free. So this is a really good thing to do. And if there's false information, you want to call the webmaster or the blogger of the site. You want to email, actually, the webmaster or the blogger that the site where the falsehoods appear. And the webmaster is listed at the bottom of the webpage. And straighten it out with them. Okay, I like it. Good enough. Good stuff. I want to talk very quickly about the Jennifer Kessie case. I'm hoping it's K-E-E-S-E. Missing January 24th marked the 4 years since Jennifer was missing. This is a missing persons case. Her family is find Jennifer Kessie. .com, JennifrKessie.com, findjenniferkessie.com. She was, there's $1 million reward out for her safe return. They believe she was abducted in or around her Orlando, Florida home. And they're offering this reward up through February 24th. And, they think that, she might have been abducted, and they don't, you know, they're hoping that she's still alive. They've got a tip line there, 407-722-2162. $1 million reward, 4 years. I'm hoping they can find her. And there's another missing person case, and I got this off of my buddy Tricia Griffith's Web Sleuth forum. Susan Powell, help find Susan Powell. 28-year-old mother of two was reported missing December 7th after she failed to show up for work. She was last seen a day earlier. Her husband, Josh Powell, said he went camping with the couple's two sons, 2 and 4, on December 7th, returned that evening, and she was missing. And there's a big article on it. I'm going to put a link to this article. This is an MSNBC article. I'm going to put it on my Voice America homepage. I'll put it on my Crime Prevention 101 website. We're getting I want to get my guest on. So you know what let's do? I need you to stay tuned because when we come back, I'm going to be welcoming Sharon Esteter, who is from the Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center. Don't go away.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com. After more than 17 years' experience teaching safety skills to thousands of women and men, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone concluded that by thinking and responding quickly, ideally within 20 seconds, potentially violent criminal encounters can be prevented. Using techniques from many different disciplines and illustrated by 60 real-life examples and success stories, Susan shows how it's done in her new book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime, how to respond to danger in 20 seconds or less. Check out www.crimeprevention101.com for more information.
Hi, this is Susan Bartlestone, host of Crime Prevention 101, and I want to tell you about My Mobile Witness, a revolutionary service that transforms your camera phone into a personal safety device. My Mobile Witness believes safety is improved when you remove anonymity from dangerous scenarios. If you're in a stalking situation, for example, if you have an order of protection against someone, or if your profession places you in situations that are potentially dangerous, I want you to check out My Mobile Witness. And you parents of college students, ask the school to check out the My Mobile Witness University program with custom-tailored options aimed at keeping both students and faculty safe. Every campus could benefit from the My Mobile Witness University service. For more information, go to mymobilewitness.com.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com. You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions@fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions@fightsafe.com. Now back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
Hello, we're back. And I just want to remind you that if you know someone who should be listening to this show who might not be, why not send out a text message about us? Start tweeting if you're on Twitter. Anything. I want them to join us. And don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook, too. And I'd love you to be my friend. I'm going to introduce you now to Sharon Essatoyer. I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Okay.
She is a good. Sharon is a proud Comanche Indian woman, and she has been a Native American woman's health advocate and activist for more than 22 years. She's the founder and executive director of the Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center, which is located on the Yankton Sioux Reservation in South Dakota. She's received numerous awards for her work on behalf of Native American women, including being appointed by President Clinton to serve on the National Advisory Council for Health and Human Services. That's quite an honor. Sharon, welcome to Crime Prevention 101.
Thank you very much.
It's such a pleasure. This topic we're going to talk about is one that I know a lot of my listeners don't know much about, and I really want to shed some light on it. Now, Sharon, in 2007, Amnesty International published a report that stated Native American women are 2.5 times more likely to be raped or sexually assaulted than women from other ethnic groups. And 86% of the sexual assaults of Native American women are by non-Indian men. Do you agree with this statement? Is this true?
Very much so.
There are some very special problems when a crime like a sexual assault or domestic violence occurs on an Indian reservation, and that's what I really want to talk about with you. First of all, whose jurisdiction does it fall under when there is a crime committed, a felony?
Well, if it's on the reservation, it's federal. It's federal jurisdiction, meaning depending on who the perpetrator is. If the perpetrator is a tribal member, then it falls under the tribe. Unless it's the top 10 crimes, and rape and sexual assault fit under that category, the FBI can come and do the investigation. They're supposed to do the investigation, actually, and then move it into federal court, because tribal courts can only give a sentence up to 1 year. So a rapist definitely deserves more than a 1 year sentence.
And domestic violence would also fall under that?
Well, no, domestic violence, is usually handled under a tribal court. Again, if the perpetrator is Indian. Okay, now if the perpetrator is not, in either case, then we have quite a situation. The Oliphant case, which is a case basically that the Supreme Court's handed down and said that the tribes do not have the authority to prosecute non-native, non-tribal members. And so what actually that means is that unless the FBI wants to come down and investigate a crime and pursue it in federal court, nothing happens.
Hmm.
And unfortunately, this seems to be the case quite often because of other complications that occur within the context of the forensic exam and trying to get the forensic witness into court. And I'm sure we'll be talking about that.
Well, you know, now Amnesty International said that 86%, and this is 2007, 86% of the sexual assaults on Native American women, are by non-Indian men. So you're talking about the majority of the rape cases that you might see have to fall under this this Oliphant case decision.
Exactly. And again, it's left up to the discretion of the FBI as to whether or not they're going to come down and investigate it, and two, whether they're going to try and move it into federal court. Now, this isn't, I'm not going to blame the FBI for not coming down as often as they should come down. You know, there's another complicated issue that's involved here, and that's within the Indian Health Service. And Indian Health Service usually would be the party to do the rape kit or collect the forensic evidence. And it's pretty important for a prosecutor to have the forensic witness or the individual that performed the rape kit testify in court. It's very difficult to get a conviction on a rape case if the person, the forensic witness, isn't in court to talk about the process in which the evidence was collected.
Sure.
So the Indian Health Service has a policy that can protect its employee from having to testify in court. And, you know, realistically, they're protecting the perpetrator and assisting in the denial of due process to Native women. And so we've always said, why bother with putting a woman through a rape kit, because it's a very extensive examination, if mm-hmm. the evidence is never going to get into court.
Yeah, so, really?
Yeah, it's...
Now,
it's, go ahead.
I was going to say, what would prevent a Native American woman from going to... well, you're in Yankton. I don't know exactly where that is, but is there a non Native American facility that they could go to get that can do a rape kit and have it admissible?
On some reservations they're too big. You know, they would take them, you know, to the nearest hospital, and that would be the Indian Health Service Hospital.
I see.
Or, you know, some communities, like in the Alaskan Native communities, there's no first aid station, there's no health clinic, no emergency room, and the plane comes in, you know, once a week to fly people out. So there's also a whole other set of problems there, but for the most of it, women will go to the Indian Health Service within our communities. Some can go to other hospitals off the reservations, but we're talking about some of them being 80 miles away and farther.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, you know, after you've been traumatized like that, that's an additional, you know, distance. And then who's going to take you?
Mm-hmm.
Is law enforcement? No. Is the Indian Health Service? No, because they have their own staff. So it's a very, very complicated situation, and not always that cut and dry. But basically what we're saying is that if you go to a local Indian Health Service emergency room after a sexual assault, and you know they do a rape kit and they examine you and collect the forensic evidence, the chances are is that you will the healthcare provider that did the rape kit or the collected the forensic evidence is not going to be able to testify in court,
which is a double whammy. If they actually get to where they can get some services, they can't be used. This is untenable.
Right, and this is a this is for your listeners that want to look this up. This is 45 CFR Part 2, and they can look it up, and it reads very, very clear that no employee or former employee may provide testimony or produce documents in any proceedings to which this part applies. Concerning information acquired in the course of performing official duties or because of their person's official relationship with the department unless authorized by the agency's head. So basically, they can turn down a subpoena.
All right, very quickly, we have about 2 minutes. What needs to be done to change things? What can we do? This can't go continue this way.
Well, there's a couple things. We need to, Indian Health Service has to modify its witness approval process. So forensic evidence can get into court and be certified by the person that did the rape kit. Then we have to do away with the Oliphant case. Congress left it open, the Supreme Court left it open so that Congress could do away with it. It's extremely political. But it has to be overturned, and the only way is through an act of Congress. And that will reinstore tribes' rights to jurisdiction over crimes that occur within our reservation land bases.
All right, Sharon. Well, let's see if we can get some help out there for you. If you want to, Sharon's the website for the Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center is www.nativeshop.org. You can contact Sharon there if you have any ideas about how to contact the federal government on this or help out. I know Sharon, you're activisting it for it. I know you are. So let me know if there's anything that I can do through Crime Prevention 101 to help you out. And
sure.
I thank you so much for talking with me. We may have to have you back. This wasn't enough time.
No, it wasn't.
I want to explore this a little more.
Have your listeners call their congressional representatives and tell them to overturn the Oliphant case and to provide equal protection under the law for Native women.
Let's you and I craft something. I'm going to put it on my Voice America homepage so people can take action. I'll put it on my crimeprevention101.com blog. Let's see what we can do to help each other out. Thank you so much for being with me today. When we come back, you're going to find out some of the things that the Avon Corporation is doing in the cause of women's and girls' empowerment and to stop domestic violence. Stay tuned.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
After more than 17 years' experience teaching safety skills to thousands of women and men, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone concluded that by thinking and responding quickly, ideally within 20 seconds, potentially violent criminal encounters can be prevented. Using techniques from many different disciplines and illustrated by 60 real-life examples and success stories, Susan shows how it's done in her new book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime, how to respond to danger in 20 seconds or less. Check out www.crimeprevention101.com for more information.
Technology is changing the way we live our lives and how we do business. On CIO Talk Radio, we talk about the benefits of technology and the great things it allows us to do, as well as its risks. Heard every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, Sunjoy Gall interviews business leaders and other experts that are shaping the way we use technology. To learn more about the show, visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Keep up with the changing world of technology and listen to CIO Talk Radio with Sunjoy Gall. Listen in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, right here on Voice America Business.
Joe Cribbs. No Average Joe is here for you, the fan, to hear about and discuss the week's top stories in the world of sports. We'll discuss not only the headliners, but you'll hear some of the smaller stories that don't usually make it on the sports wires today. It's a forum for the sports fan, hosted by Joe Cribbs, a three-time Pro Bowler with the Buffalo Bills. Joe is a 10-year pro football veteran, a former Southeastern Conference Most Valuable Player, and a member of the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. Discuss the topics with Joe Cribbs, No Average Joe, Mondays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Network.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions@fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions@fightsafe.com. Now, back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
This is Crime Prevention 101. Thank you so much for listening to me today. Now, my next guest is Mary Quinn, who is the Senior Manager of Operations for the Avon Foundation for Women, and she's also the Secretary of the Foundation's Board. And she's got oversight on the Foundation's Speak Out Against Domestic Violence initiatives, including grant-making policies, procedures, and programs. And she's been with Avon for 35 years. Mary, welcome to Crime Prevention 101.
My pleasure.
It's such a pleasure having you with me today. Now, you know, everybody associates Avon with its support for breast cancer research, and they've done amazing things. But they've also done, their support for domestic violence and women's empowerment has been tremendous also. Talk a little bit about the Speak Out Against Domestic Violence program and what it is.
Well, first off, the foundation began in 1955, so we've been around for 55 years now. And as you mentioned, our two key focus areas are breast cancer and domestic violence. Our Speak Out Against Domestic Violence initiative began in 2004. And we were looking to support efforts to expand awareness and education, as well as funding, prevention programs, and direct services for victims. We especially wanted to focus on helping children who witness or experience violence in their homes.
Very important.
So through 2009, so for the last 5 years, we've awarded $12 million to almost 400 domestic violence organizations in the U.S. alone. But we've also expanded the Speak Out launch globally in over 50 countries, including Brazil, the Czech Republic, England, Mexico, and Japan. So it's been a growing program, and we're very excited about the program and its ability to speak out and really have this issue discussed in homes and in communities, so that we can reduce the incident of domestic violence.
Now, how does it work? What's involved in this?
Well, it's a series of programs. We look for different initiatives, like we fund shelters all across the country, in primarily where we have Avon facilities and locations. We look for domestic violence shelters that we can fund. We also have a program that we just started last year, and this will be our second year in North Carolina, and it's called Walk the Costs Against Domestic Violence. And what that is the foundation has aligned with the PGA Tour Wives Association and the Quail Hollow Championship, and families will be able to walk the costs and raise funds and awareness of domestic violence programs in North Carolina.
Are they walking or are they playing?
They're walking. They're actually walking the PGA course. They're not, the players will come on right after that. But it gives the families an opportunity to be educated about this, educate people about the issue and working towards a goal of eradicating domestic violence. So
this is going to take place when?
It's going to take place on April 27th, 2010, Walk the Cost Against Domestic Violence, and it'll be held in Charlotte, North Carolina. We raised $100,000 last year, and we hope to really significantly grow that dollar amount this year.
And if anybody's down there in South Carolina and they want to walk with you, how can they get in touch with you on this?
Well, you can always go to our website, www.avonfoundation.org.
Okay. And if you want to walk and raise some money,
yes,
and you're down there, by all means, let's get some people out there.
It would be great.
Now, I initially found out about Avon's work in this year because I have to tell you, I really didn't know. I mean, I knew about the breast cancer, which I've always supported. But I got an email regarding, it was called the Take Back the Night National Conference to Combat Abuse and Sexual Violence on College Campuses. Now, what's Avon's involvement with this? It came from Avon's PR people.
The Avon Foundation hosted a conference in November of last year, and the purpose of which was to invite college representatives to come together to talk about Take Back the Night activities on their campuses. So these activities are going on across campuses in about 600 colleges. And what it is marches and rallies.
That's fantastic.
It really is. It's very exciting. And I think most of the colleges just think they're in a silo. They don't realize that it was such a national program. And we wanted to raise visibility around the issue of dating, abuse, and violence, and sexual violence of all kinds, so that survivors and victims and the general public would know more about bringing awareness and an end to this issue.
Now, it's so interesting that for those of my listeners that don't know what Take Back the Night program was, it didn't have anything to do with college campuses. It was just that women got so fed up with not being able to go out late at night that they started organizing these marches and that we're going back, 20 some odd years with this program. And they would call all the women martial artists together. And I remember serving as the guards. We would guard the women and we'd walk through the parks and different places where they were holding these Take Back the Night programs. For one night, women could walk freely anywhere they wanted. It was a big group and it kind of grew and it grew and it grew. And I love the idea that you're now focusing on the sexual violence and abuse in college campuses. I think that's tremendous, and it's exactly where it should be.
Thank you. We're very excited about the program, and we hope that, we would have made a difference in educating young women and men on college campuses about this issue.
And I know that you also do something else regarding girls' empowerment. And I went to the foundation website, and it's m.empowermentcampaign.
Mm-hmm.
And talk a little bit about that.
Well, we're working with the celebrity Lauren Conrad. And in 2008, we launched the MOC Girls Empowerment Campaign. And we were looking to bring awareness and help yet educate young women about the potential for abusive relationships to impact their lives. I think many young women in particular don't realize that, what a healthy relationship should be, and sometimes get caught up in thinking that abuse is love. So this was a program to try to raise awareness and educate women and men about healthy relationships. We've awarded seven grants, one of which went to the loveisrespect.org site, which was to fund a love mashup movie maker. And mm-hmm. It's sort of a game on that site, and then you can send, young people can send messages of healthy dating by sending movies to their friends and Valentine's or, you know, a special occasion, and let them know that what a healthy relationship should be, and, you know, that abuse is not, you need to break the cycle.
Fantastic. This is absolutely amazing. Do you have an overall figure of how much money has been donated by the Avon Foundation in this area?
We talk about our Avon, well, in total, our Avon philanthropy has raised and awarded $725 million, but that's also our breast cancer initiatives. So far, we've raised and awarded $12 million for the domestic violence program, but I think what's even more amazing is that, you know, we can't do this alone, and we call on, through Avon Products, Inc., our Avon representatives who sell domestic violence product, and then they distribute a domestic violence resource guide. And the guide gives information, support, and resources so that customers and representatives and just the general public will become more aware of what to do if you know of someone that might be in need of help.
That's amazing. You know, if you can send me a link to this product, I'll put it up on my Voice America homepage and on my Crime Prevention 101 blog site. So I want people can, you know, get a hold of this from their local Avon representative. I'd love to do that for you.
Oh, that would be great. And we also have on our site as well, www.avonfoundation.org, we have the Avon, it's a CD that we did, How to Recognize, Respond to, and Provide Resources to End Domestic Violence, because we wanted our representatives to be educated, you know, as they go into their homes and they see things, what should they do or how can they help? And we wanted them to get this education. And
perfect.
We did that. We funded the National Center on Domestic and Sexual Violence to produce this.
All right. Send me all that information. I'm going to help you publicize this. Keep me on your mailing list, because if there's anything coming up that people should know about, I want to help plug it for you and get the word out for what Avon is doing. I truly appreciate this. And I thank you so much for being with me today on the show.
Oh, thank you, Susan. Really appreciate the opportunity, and I hope, you know, at the end of this call that we've communicated Avon's global mission to empower women and change our world. So thank you for this opportunity.
I believe so, and it's www.avonfoundation.org.
Yes.
Thank you so much. All right. In just a few minutes, we're going to try and catch a criminal with Detective Robert Sarantonio from the Bluegrass Crime Stoppers Group in Lexington, Kentucky.
News. Opinion. Hear me.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
After more than 17 years' experience teaching safety skills to thousands of women and men, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone concluded that by thinking and responding quickly, ideally within 20 seconds, potentially violent criminal encounters can be prevented. Using techniques from many different disciplines and illustrated by 60 real-life examples and success stories, Susan shows how it's done in her new book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime, How to Respond to Danger in 20 Seconds or Less. Check out www.crimeprevention101.com for more information.
Hi, this is Susan Bartlestone, host of Crime Prevention 101, and I want to tell you about My Mobile Witness, a revolutionary service that transforms your camera phone into a personal safety device. My Mobile Witness believes safety is improved when you remove anonymity from dangerous scenarios. If you're in a stalking situation, for example, if you have an order of protection against someone, or if your profession places you in situations that are potentially dangerous, I want you to check out My Mobile Witness. And you parents of college students,
ask the school to check out the My Mobile Witness University program with custom tailored options aimed at keeping both students and faculty safe. Every campus could benefit from the My Mobile Witness University service. For more information, go to mymobilewitness.com.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions@fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions@fightsafe.com. Now, back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
Welcome back to Crime Prevention 101. And I just want to remind you that we are available on iTunes. You don't even have to be at your computer to listen. I want to introduce you now to Detective Robert Sarantonio. He's with the Lexington, Kentucky Police Department. He's the coordinator of the Bluegrass Crime Stoppers, and he also serves on the board of Crime Stoppers USA. Robert, welcome to Crime Prevention 101.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm calling this segment Let's Catch a Criminal because I'm really, really excited about my relationship with Crime Stoppers. So talk to me a little bit about the Bluegrass Crime Stoppers, what it is, how people can utilize it.
Sure. Bluegrass Crime Stoppers started in 1987 in Lexington, Kentucky. We serve approximately about a 6-county region that surrounds the Lexington-Fayette County area. Roughly about 400,000 to 500,000 people are in our area. And since then, what it is basically we service an anonymous tip line where people can call when we feature crimes on either TV or radio or newspaper, soliciting help from the public to assist us in solving some crimes in our local community. We've been highly successful since the start of it in 87, and we have had a great relationship with our media and other local police departments around this area, and it's been very successful for us.
And I just want to stress again that the tips are anonymous.
Yes.
If you don't want to get involved or you can't get involved for some reason, but you want to see that justice is done or that the fugitive is caught or something, you can call in or can you, I guess they can also go through the website?
Yes, we have a website, bluegrasscrimestoppers.com, that people can give anonymous tips through there also. No one in over 20 years here in our program has ever been identified with giving information to us.
Terrific. And there is usually a reward for information.
Yes, we if the information that you give us leads to an arrest, you will be eligible for a reward that can range from $100 to $1,000.
And I've spoken to a couple of other people from Crime Stoppers, and they're saying that a lot of people don't even want that reward. They just want to see the justice is done in a particular case.
That does happen often. A lot of people, when I explain to them to contact me back in a certain amount of time so I can give them an update and stuff and let them know if they're eligible for a reward, a lot of people just tell me, you know what, detective, I just want you to know that this is going on, that this person, you know, committed this crime. And on another note, usually about 20 to 25% of our rewards go unclaimed. So even when it's set up for a person to receive a reward, a lot of times they just don't follow up for one reason or another, and they're just never claimed. So that helps put the money back in the coffers for us to pay out rewards in the future.
I love it. It's just, you know, we get so cynical sometimes that people are only out for money and whatever, and it's just proof that it's not true.
No, it's not.
Now, does Bluegrass Crime Stoppers have any special programs or initiatives that they do?
We do. We just recently released, it's been done we're about the 10th program slash date to actually implement it. Similar to what a lot of people are familiar with, what the U.S. government did in Iraq to look for terrorists, they had those deck of cards. Everyone's seen it. They had different, of course, like Saddam Hussein was like the ace of spades. And law enforcement and Crime Stoppers throughout the country took that and used it locally. And what we've done is we've produced our first edition in Kentucky where we have unsolved homicides on decks of cards, because a lot of prisoners, go ahead.
I did a show about this. I love this idea, the cold case playing cards.
Yes. We just put our first set out about 2 weeks ago, and it's fantastic. I mean, it's a great idea. I know it's, as you probably know from doing a show already, that it had a great success. So we're hopefully going to start getting tips shortly, because they're being sent out to all our prisons right now.
And these they feature the pictures of people that have been murdered when cases are not solved, and fugitives that are wanted, and other cold cases that you're looking for information on, and the prisoners play cards with them.
Exactly. A lot of that's very common in the prisons. The prisons, a lot of the past time, a lot of the inmates, they play cards. So we're giving the cards free of charge to them. And so hopefully someone picks up a card and notices something and recognizes it, and we gave them an 800 number to our office for them to call, and they can also receive rewards, you know, when they get out of prison someday.
Fantastic. I love that. So that was such a great show. That was the show that actually made me want to do more work with Crime Stoppers, because that's what I'm about. I want to catch these bad guys.
Yes, and so do we.
Now, in that vein, what case do you need information about that we can help you with today?
One of the, of course, anything with children usually, you know, is heavy on people's hearts, and especially even with the police. We have a case in our deck. It's actually in the Seven of Diamonds. It's a Lydia Perkins. And Lydia was 14 years old back on October 26th of 1997 here in Lexington, Kentucky. And what... She left her boyfriend's house and started to walk home in the area of Rugby Circle, which is in a suburb here of Lexington, Kentucky, and she was never seen back at her house. And since the date she's been missing, no one's ever seen her, or, you know, she has never been located, tragically, a body's never been located, nor has she been seen anywhere.
And this is back when?
On October 26th of 1997. That date, she was walking home that evening from her boyfriend's house, and that was the last she was ever seen.
All right, and her name again was Lydia?
Lydia, L-Y-D-I-A, Perkins, P-E-R-K-I-N-S.
Okay, now if anyone in the Lexington, Kentucky area, or that general area, has any information about this, give out the number of the tip line.
Sure. Our 800 tip line is 1-877-970-2020. That's 1-877-970-2020.
And if someone wants to see a picture of her, can they do it from your website, bluegrasscrimestoppers.com?
Yes, they can send a message to me through submitting a tip online, and I will get that, and I can forward back a picture of her to them, through the website, and it keeps them anonymous too, so we don't identify who they are.
And you know what, Robert? If you want to send me a picture, I will post it on my Crime Prevention 101 blog site and on my Voice America host page with the Crime Stoppers phone number, and maybe we can help. Get some information about Lydia Perkins from there, too.
Excellent. That'd be fantastic. I will send that to you.
Terrific. Very good. All right, we're kind of winding down. I want to talk a little bit. You sit on the board of Crime Stoppers USA. Talk a little bit, if someone wants to start a Crime Stoppers group in their own area, they would have to go through Crime Stoppers USA, correct?
Yeah, I mean, we have all to help people not have to reinvent the wheel. we have all the information, all the startup packet and everything to have to help someone along in their community to start up a program. I mean, all of them are nonprofits. They're 501c3s. We help you set that up in your local area. We give you the tools that are used to set it up, the cooperation between the community and the police department. And we have many people throughout the country that can give you assistance in helping you how they started up and some of the roadblocks they had could also, you know, that you don't have to face. And if you do have to face, we have a way that you can solve it.
And I think it's important to say you don't have to be in law enforcement or with the police in order to start a Crime Stoppers group, correct?
No, Crime Stoppers is really a community organization. The police is a very small part of it. But really, it's the community. I mean, Crime Stoppers is made majority of people from the community, just people that are interested in solving crimes and helping out their local community.
So if you're with the Chamber of Commerce or any local community group that you want to put together, you can contact Crime Stoppers USA on how to put this together in your area, and they can help you bring it about.
Yes, exactly.
Fantastic. All right. Well, I think that's a wrap for today. Detective Robert Sarantonio from the Bluegrass Crime Stoppers. And again, that is bluegrasscrimestoppers.com. And the website for Crime Stoppers USA is www.crimestopusa.com. Thank you so very much for being with me today. And I hope
we
help you catch that criminal.
Thank you very much, and I will send you her photo.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Now.
Bye.
Well, it's a wrap for now. But never fear. You and I will be doing this again next week, same time, same bat channel. I think I'm dating myself here when I say that. When I'll have more stories that demand to be told, more important crime topics for you, and, of course, lots of tips and resources. It'd be a crime not to listen, so stay tuned and stay safe.
We hope you got some useful information and inspiration this week on Crime Prevention 101. Susan Bartlestone invites you to join us again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern Time here on Voice America. If you want to learn more about Susan's guests, sign up for her newsletter, or find out about upcoming teleseminars and workshops, go to www.crimeprevention101.com today. Have a great week and a safe week.